This week, April 14th, 2015, on The Digital Story, LinkedIn buys Lynda. Canon XC10, is this the camera of the future? Snapseed has an update and it's a beauty, Snapseed 2.0. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Happy to have you here with me this week. We have lots of interesting topics. We'll start out with a weekly update, and I have three items for that. Then we'll roll into Lynda.com and the buyout. Yeah, LinkedIn bought Lynda.com for $1.5 billion. That's reportedly. I don't have the fact sheet on that. But what I do have is the message that they sent to authors, and I was going to read you what's going on with that deal, at least as they're telling us. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the new camera that was announced last week from Canon, the XC10. Is this the camera of the future? Is this the way that we're going to be going? Well, we'll take a look at it and see what DP Review says, because they think it's a big deal. And then we'll do a few more bits and bobs and wrap up the show. So let's get started with the weekly update. Weekly update. Snapseed hits version 2.0 with new tools, filters, and more. And this is from iMore, the website iMore. And what they have said is that the latest update adds a new way to view your edits with stacks. Stacks allow you to see a list of filters that you've applied to an image that can be re-edited or copied over to another image. Snapseed 2.0 also includes new filters, brush, spot repair tools, and more. And it's available now for iOS and Android. So I gave it a spin, and I'll tell you, especially on the iPad, I use the iPad Mini. And especially on the iPad Mini, it is a pleasure to edit images with this software. It's free, which, you know, right there you're going, oh my gosh, that's so nice of you to do that. But not only that, it's really good. Now, they have worked on the UI a bit, so I think it has a cleaner look to it. This stacks, or this ability to go back through history with what you've done to a shot, you know, really, I think, encourages playing, because you go, okay, well, how about if I try this? Okay, well, I'm not sure how that looks. Let me go back. Yeah, I actually liked it better without that, you know, and you can kind of do that whole thing. The new filters, the new tools are terrific. And I think in terms of just having an editor that's easy to use, that provides great results, and let's face it, doesn't cost you a penny, Snapseed 2.0 is looking really good. It's for both Android and iOS devices. If you haven't used Snapseed before, I would give this version a look. And if you are an existing Snapseed user, 2.0 is fantastic. You're going to love it. In other news, a review. Photos for OS X is faster than iPhoto, but less powerful than Aperture. That's right. The official release of Photos for OS X came out last week. A lot's happened since we last met. There's been a lot of little releases and things going on. This is actually a rather large release. And Macworld magazine covered, obviously, Photos for OS X, and Jeff Carlson published a review of it, which I have a link to in the show notes. I think it's worth a read. He does a good job going into all the different nooks and crannies of this new application that a lot of us are already familiar with because we were on the beta program, and there's already a lot being written about it. So it's not like there's any big surprises or anything like that. But by the same token, I think now's the time to start learning it and start trying to figure out, is it going to fit into your workflow or is it not? So anyway, one thing that he said was that Photos is a big step up for iPhoto users with better speed and editing tools. Power users of Aperture will probably want to stay with Aperture or switch to another pro-level app like Lightroom. We were already kind of at that place, right? we're already going, yeah, you know, for Aperture users, this isn't really going to be the cat's meow. Now, that being said, I'm working on my training for lynda.com on photos for OS 10, and I'm knee-deep in it now. And if you want to know what photos can do and really kind of get in there, this training will be good for that. And it might be worth spending an hour with it just to kind of come to that final decision. All right, now I know exactly how it works, and now I can decide how I want to move forward. And then, of course, those who do embrace it, and as Jeff Carlson said, a lot of people using iPhoto are really going to like it because it is better than iPhoto, definitely. I think it's much better than iPhoto. So in that regard, iPhoto users should be very happy with this update. So those of us that use Aperture that have a sad face. But we don't need to go into that more right now. We have definitely talked about that a lot. The real news is, and the reason why it's in the weekly update, is that it's official and it's out. All you have to do is upgrade to Mac OS 10.10.3. That's a Yosemite. And you'll get photos and off to the races you go. And finally, Olympus price reduction on the OMD EM10 Premium Kit. This is sort of interesting. This is something that I just found on the Olympus site. What happened a while back, a few months ago, Olympus created a premium kit of the OMD EM10. There was a black edition, there was an orange edition, and a green edition. And what they did was that the camera itself is black on all three editions, but what's premium is that the grip material, the trim, is three different things. Like, for instance, the black one is like a lizard skin texture, and it feels really good. And the orange one's kind of a burnt orange, so the orange looks really dramatic with the black camera around it. And the green is kind of that high-end green that you see on Leicas and other cameras like that. Originally, that green version was only to be sold at a few specialty outlets in Great Britain. So what's interesting about all of this is that now you can buy these premium kits in the U.S., and not only can you buy them, the price is really good. It's $875. It includes the EM10. It includes the 14 to 42 easy power zoom, the one that you really want. That's the lens you really want with that camera. A custom leather strap that matches the design of the camera, and then a custom lens cap. The lens cap is no big deal. It was hard to tell when you look at the pictures. Everything else is pretty much as advertised. The lens cap is really just the plastic lens cap that you would normally get with that lens, except instead of saying Olympus on the front, it says OMD. So, I mean, that is kind of cool, but it's no big deal. It's not like the special edition 17mm lens I got a while back that had a really nice metal lens cap that slid over the whole lens. Love that. I would have loved something like that for this lens, but that's not what they did. So the whole package is $875. If you do the math, that's a very good price. When it was originally selling in Britain, it was the equivalent of about $1,300 US. And then when Olympus did start selling in the US, they had it at, I believe, $1,075 or $1,050. And now you can get it for $875. And if you just add up the pieces, I mean, you're getting a good deal just on those components. And they are really nice. And it comes in a special box. It's a cardboard box, but it's specially configured. And it's a really nice kit. If you're thinking about getting EM10 and you want something that's a little different than what everyone else has, this black version, the green version, the orange version are really cool. I'll have a link to them in the show notes. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Lynda is bought by LinkedIn. Or, as they like to say in the message they sent to us, lynda.com to join LinkedIn. So this was big news last week, I think in part because the rumored dollar amount was so high, $1.5 billion. And of course, a lot of us in the world of photography use lynda.com for for learning new stuff, for learning software, for learning photo technique, all that. And I'm a Linda author, so I talk about Linda. We do the screening room. So it's, you know, it's in the fabric of what we're doing. None of us got any warning. In other words, we did not find out as authors until the same time everyone else did. And on Thursday, April 9th at 6:29 a.m., we got a note here from Linda.com, which was the official announcement. I'm going to read you a little bit about what exactly they said, you know, and then that way all the information is correct, because I have seen some spins on the story that were a little different than what I received from Linda. And then, of course, we'll all see how it shakes out. Anyway, dear author, today I'm thrilled to share the exciting news that Linda.com has entered into an agreement to be acquired by LinkedIn, the world's largest professional network. This journey could not be possible without our author partners, and we want to thank you. With your hard work and dedication, we have built the world's best library of courses teaching business, creative, and technical skills. And then they go on a little bit there to talk about how wonderful we authors are, which was nice. Then we get into a little bit about LinkedIn itself. From my perspective, and this is the Linda.com content team that signed this note. So, okay. From my perspective, there is no better business match than LinkedIn and Linda.com. The mission and the vision of LinkedIn and Linda.com align perfectly. Both companies seek to help people become better at what they do, empowering professionals to transform their careers through ongoing learning and development, and thus helping to create economic opportunity. Aside from the dollars involved here, they feel that, you know, psychologically, practically, all those different levels, it's also a good match. Then what they do, they talk a little bit more, thank us for our continued partnership and so forth. Then they get into the FAQ. So I thought I'd just read you a few of the FAQs here. First one, why did LinkedIn make this acquisition? The mission and vision of LinkedIn and Linda.com align perfectly. Both people, did I not just read this? Help to be better at what they do, empowering professionals, yada, yada, yada. So essentially, they just reiterate what they said in the top part, which is, you know, they both have the same goals. In terms of who we work with at Linda, that is going to remain the same also. Then there was an interesting question. Where will Linda.com's team be based, and will I continue to work with my content manager at Linda.com? And what they said here is that Linda.com will continue to operate business as usual from their existing locations around the world. You will continue to work with your content manager and all members of the content and production teams moving forward. What's the takeaway here? The takeaway is right now for the owners of Linda.com, you know, it was a private company. This is a great thing. They have built something from the ground up, and now they receive a very nice payday for all that hard work. And at the same time, at least by the initial messages that we get, and, you know, you never really know on this sort of stuff. I mean, I have been through reorgs and things like this before. Sometimes it goes the way they say it's going to. Sometimes it doesn't. But at least for the moment, they're saying that it will be business as usual. And as an author, I'm thinking, wow, you know, one thing that could be kind of interesting here is, will my titles be exposed to even more people? That could be a very good thing and probably would offset any minor inconvenience that might happen as a result of this buyout. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. That's what I have. I haven't talked to anybody on the phone about it. You know, we're in the middle of a project, two projects right now. We're focusing on the projects, not on the buyout. And this official document has basically been it. I thought you might be interested. And there it is. That's a nice paycheck, isn't it? Story number two. This is an opinion piece. Why the Canon XC10 is a big deal by Dale Baskin of DP Review. So let me read you what Dale writes, and then I'm going to talk about it a bit. The Canon XC10 was announced last week. Another thing that happened since we last met, and it's a very unusual camera, and a lot of people think it might be the camera of the future. But here's what Dale says. The XC10 represents an important step on the path to convergence between the still and video imaging worlds, though it's important to recognize that it's an early step. Canon tends to be very deliberate in its product development and has smartly aimed this camera at a category of users, such as the media, for whom the combination of features, specs, and physical size might make a lot of sense. It may not be the camera that enthusiasts, still photographers are looking for, but it might be the best example yet of a convergence product that facilitates both photography and video with equal emphasis on both. Basically, what he's saying is this is the camera that firmly has a foot in both worlds. So if you're a media person, a blogger even, and you have to capture video, you have to capture stills, you basically need one device to do all of your work. So let's take a look at the basic feature highlights of this camera. 12 megapixel stills from a 1-inch sensor, which, I mean, okay, it's not going to make enthusiast photographers go nuts, but a 1-inch sensor for those who are publishing online should yield ample image quality, that's for sure. 5-axis image stabilization, that's nice. Us Olympus users know about that. Maximum ISO sensitivity of 20,000. And built-in optically stabilized 24 to 240 millimeter equivalent zoom. And it's 27 to 273 millimeter for movies. And he's saying that that should appeal greatly to multimedia professionals who increasingly need to focus on both stills and video capture. So you have one lens on this, you know, it's like a bridge camera in that sense, and it's a 24 to 240 built in. Now I looked at the camera and I looked at it from all angles. I haven't held one yet, but it's not very big. In fact, it can go up on a drone, which again is another advantage to this camera, although I'd be nervous about putting my brand new XC10 on a drone. That costs, I believe, about $2,400. I'd be a little nervous about that. But the point being is that it's compact enough for things like this, easy to carry around on assignment, trade shows, you can have it with you all the time. Has a lot of features for both still and video photographers. Now, it looks more like the Canon Cinema, like the C100 and so forth. And it has that rotating handle, that's very nice. And it has the LCD, the articulated LCD. And it just looks very modern. So the question is, of course, is this a camera that we should keep our eye on? And I think the answer to it is, it's good to know about these things because we want to keep up, right? That's one of the reasons why you listen to this podcast, so that you stay current and you know what's going on. And in this case, you know that there is a new camera out that shoots 4K video as well as 1080p. That is really only 5 inches by 5 inches, has a 1-inch sensor, has a pretty nice lens, and is designed for both video and stills fairly equally. Those are the sort of things that you need to know. If, however, you're primarily a stills photographer, or if, however, you're a videographer, then I think going with a specialty camera makes more sense. I think this camera really is for the people that have to do both on the fly, switch back and forth, and do it with ease and really in a very compact package. So anyway, that is the Canon XC10. It's an interesting camera. It's not one that I'm going to buy. The video capability on my new OMD E M5 Mark II is fine for what I need to do. Plus, I have a Canon 70D. Which is also very good with video. So I'm okay for what I need to do. By the way, as I mentioned on my review of the EM5 Mark II, I love having that switch so I can be a still photographer and just move the position switch from 1 to 2 and then have it be totally set up for video without fiddling around with the menus. I dig that. That to me is also convenience. I digress once again. So this is the Canon XC10. And it'll be interesting to see what Canon does with future models. story number 3, From the Screening Room. We're into kind of mobility and stuff today, because my screening room feature is by Sean Dugan, and it is iPhone and iPad photography with iOS 8. Sean is a very good teacher. I like him a lot. I first learned about him when he taught Photoshop, which he still does, and wrote a book with Katrine Eisman, which was fantastic. He also wanders into all sorts of different things, including iPhone and iPad photography. And who do I think this title's for? For people who use their iPhone or their iPad for their on-the-go camera. In other words, you're not carrying a separate compact. You don't always have a camera with you in your backpack that is a dedicated camera. When you're on the go, you're using your iPhone, and then if you have a serious assignment, then you pull out the camera. It's for those people because those people appreciate being able to get functionality out of their iPhone, and that's what Sean shows you how to do. How to get the most out of this mobile device that you have in your pocket that you have decided is going to be your on-the-go camera. So you can watch Sean in action by visiting the TDS screening room at lynda.com, which is lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial, watch all of Sean's movies, plus all the other titles that are in there. It'd be interesting when we start seeing any sort of LinkedIn branding on this, won't it? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Okay, I'm all over the place today, I tell you. So yes, you can start your 7-day free trial there. You can watch the introduction movie to Sean. And the selection for this week is iPhone and iPad photography with iOS 8 with Sean Dugan. Okay, let's do a little virtual camera club news. The first news item is that the podcast, as you're probably noticing, will be just a little bit shorter this week. I mean, we'll still get close to 30 minutes. I've been running about 35, 40, but I am very much under the weather. I can't wait for this to pass. Let me just put it that way. So I don't quite have the energy that I normally have on Mondays when I record this. However, next week, I plan to be back in the pink end. News from Sizzle Picks for April. We make it easy to delight your friends and relatives with Sizzle Picks of your favorite photographs. So you can give them your favorite stuff on a Sizzle Picks, and you can save money by doing so. Take 20% discount for one, 25% for two or more. All you have to do is put TDS April in the comments field when you place your order, and you will save some coin and give them something that is really beautiful. SIZZLPIX.com. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. It's like a retina display. You can hang on the wall. And then our good folks over at Red River Paper. So yesterday was Sunday, and I was hanging out with some family. And I hadn't seen them in a while, and it was the first chance I had to talk about Cuba. And what was really fun was when we're talking about the cars, I was able to pull out the set of note cards that I had made. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, I worked on this project. They're in the Nimble Photographer store. And while we're talking about the cars, I was able to show them the note cards, and I didn't get them back. And I'm not surprised, because this has happened to me twice before. The great thing about Red River Paper and what they encourage us to do, which is to make prints, to make artwork that we can hand to other people, put it in their hands, and let them enjoy it on their own terms. It's old school, and I'll tell you, people like it. People like it. And the only thing I'll say about it is just make sure that if you put it in their hands, you're prepared for not coming back to you. Because that happens a lot too. Red River Paper, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. You can get all the different stocks for the note cards, plus just about every other size of printing paper there. Longtime sponsor of the digital story, and I'm just so happy to have them as part of our family. Just a couple of bits and bobs here. Thanks to everyone who recently reviewed our podcast in iTunes. Love, love, love having current reviews in there. Just makes it look like we're fresh and happening. And, you know, okay, he might have been good 2 years ago, but how is he now? And those new reviews help answer that question. So appreciate you doing that. And if you haven't reviewed it yet in iTunes and you would like to, I encourage you to do so. It really helps out the show. And finally, if you're ordering gear through B&H or Amazon, if you come to the site first, thedigitalstory.com, just click on the Amazon tile in the second column or the B&H tile in the second column. Doesn't make any difference where you go on their site, but it sets a cookie. And then that way, when you do navigate to what you're going to buy, it helps support the show, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for joining me this week. I so appreciate it. I have great stories I'm working on for next week. Until then, go out and take some pictures, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.